I'm a big Jordan guy. I'm trying to become a jumpman athlete. Not afraid to talk about it. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. He sent me over a pair of cleats, and he signed him to Archie. Hold on to these till we get you your own. CC Sabathia. All right. It's my favorite piece of memorabilia I own, man. So
yeah.
I'm going to tell this, too. I was at the field, and they asked me to come do this. I was like, well, I got to go home and change. I got to put J's on. I don't care, man.
What's up, everybody? We are back. Another Thursday means another episode, and we hope you and your loved ones are continuing to stay safe, stay healthy, continuing to be smart, to socially distance, and continue to endure during these trying and unprecedented times. And we hope that these Thursday episodes are providing you a little slice of normalcy and a little slice of entertainment and distraction. We took you back to our trip to Arizona last week, with The Shift, with our episode with Justin Upton. And we're going to bring you one more from our Arizona trip this week as we're back with The Shift, our partnership with the MLB Players Association, where some of the best players and biggest personalities in baseball join CeCe and me for honest, unfiltered conversations. This week, we have Archie Bradley of the Arizona Diamondbacks. We recorded this at Mountain Shadows in Paradise Valley, Arizona. Great spot, by the way. We had a great time there. Can't wait to be able to go back. This is our final episode of our R2C2 spring training road trip that we did way back in February. Archie was awesome. I mean, he was so fired up the moment he walked in the door. He's a big R2C2 fan. He has a huge personality, and this is one of the reasons why we love doing this, right, and love doing The Shift episodes, because it gives us a little insight into these personalities and allows us to connect with the character and the person, and it makes it, easier to invest in than rooting for the player, right? And I have a feeling that all of you, after listening to Archie here, are going to want to follow him and his season in Arizona then. And his career moving forward, because he is just a dynamic personality. I will be shocked if you are not thoroughly entertained by Archie Bradley. He's honest. He has wonderful insights. He's smart. And most importantly, he's just really enthusiastic. He takes us behind his hilarious, magical moment in the 2017 playoffs, which if you don't know about it, I'm not going to tell you anymore. You're just going to have to listen. He talks us through the honest truth about the arbitration process, which was really insightful, and his unique ideas about how relief pitchers can connect more with their teammates during the game. So please listen in to Archie Bradley right now on The Shift.
The Shift.
Archie, since you've listened to the podcast, we just kind of dive right in, man.
Yeah, I love it.
Go right in.
I'm ready. So, I was already listening. I'm fired up. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so pumped you're here, man. You got host like dream attitude coming on, you know? Like, yeah, just like excited, ready to go.
I can talk. I see myself doing this in the future. And I mean, I'm here with an idol of mine. And like, I've heard you. I know who you are now. Like, so it's cool to be here. You always, this is one of those small things as a baseball player that's like, oh, this is really cool, man.
Where else
can you do this,
I appreciate that, man. I mean, that's kind of like, doesn't it make you feel good about like the platform they created, sure. Like knowing like, yo, like other dudes in the league listening, like, yo, I want to be on that.
But I think you should do it. Like,
yeah.
Get somebody that you want to do it with. Like we started during the season. Like we put our first one out like July.
Yeah, it was July, I think. I think we recorded it in May and then it released right after All-Star.
Yeah.
I just think, listen to what you've said and like other players just listen to Tim talk. You know, there used to be this barrier of what I felt like people had to justify with performance to do these things. And now, like we were just talking, I mean, there's a platform and an area now where players are allowed to openly express themselves. And it's real shit. It's like the stuff that used to be behind the scenes that we get to talk about now.
Yeah. And we're fans of stuff. So like, I think people take like the athlete part of it and just love that you're a fan of something.
Yeah.
Whether it's golf or Jordan or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying? Like it's fun to be like, to let people see that side of you.
I think like, I always think of the Olympics model. So like NBC's whole theory behind the Olympics was like, we are going to tell these athletes stories, make you feel connected to them. And now all of a sudden you're going to care about their performance, right? Because you don't watch you know, skiing, and you don't watch like speed skate, like, you know, or you know, what's the curling, you know, I mean, these things aren't like,
we don't watch that during the Olympics either. Yeah, well,
but you know what I'm just saying? Like, you in the Olympics, all of a sudden, like, you may find yourself watching these sports you would never watch otherwise.
No, but you're right. Because in spring, you talk about curling, though. Yeah. That was on, and everyone's in the clubhouse. Yeah.
You get like connected to the stories, you know? It's like, I remember all about like Apollo Anton Ohno. I'd never watched speed skating before, but I like got into that. And baseball, I almost feel like there needs to be a similar model to a certain degree, because the action itself cannot sustain itself, right? No. You have to feel connected. You have to have a rooting interest. Like, that's what makes you love the game, except for those high leverage, big stakes games like playoffs, right? Otherwise, how do you do that? You get your athletes to show their personalities, to feel comfortable. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you know, I know Archie Bradley loves this. Hey, like, I like this guy. I'm going to root for him. I want to see him come in the game. I'm not going to bed in the sixth inning. I want to see if he's going to come in. You know, like, that's how you kind of build up your fan base, I feel.
Nah,
like.
I became a big fan of his watching that playoff game. Oh, he hit the triple.
It's one of those things, like, I used to be a little shy about it. It's like, my teammates get tired of hearing about it, but fuck that, man. Now I talk shit. Anytime, like, I'm in the bullpen now, so I get, like, zero bats. But, like, I came in today, and my sticks were in there, new sticks. I was like, hey, boys, they know.
Two-run triple, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. Like, well, it was like, it was at a critical moment.
It was late too, in the game, too. Yeah.
So the whole, I'm going to give you a little backstory.
Yeah, this was 2017.
If you don't, I'm loud, man. I'm always loud. So, like, when I got moved to the pen, I was pretty mad because I wanted to be a starter. You know, I think starters have the ultimate life in the big leagues. And I like being able to pitch a long time, whatever. My bats got cut down, but I started to develop this role where I might get some ABs. And so I started taking BP still with the starters, and I would just talk shit to them. I was hitting homers, you know. I wasn't getting ABs. I'd always tell Tori, like, Tori, let me bat. Like, please. Like, all my teammates, Jake Lamb's our roommate, live with me. He's like, Tori, this guy cannot hit, blah, blah. So last week of the season, we're in San Diego. Same scenario as a wild card. I come in the bottom of the eighth or in the bottom of the seventh to get a guy, and my spot comes up in the top of the eighth, so they wanted to leave me in. Same scenario, first and second, and I always told Tori, you got to let me swing green light. All these managers give take. Doug, you know that. I mean, outside of you're
grooving the heater. Yeah.
So I got him to take the green light off, and I smoke first pitch up the middle, score both runs.
Oh,
ended up, center fielder misses it. I end up on third. My teammates are going nuts. I got a picture of it because Goldie's like the most unemotional guy ever, and Goldie's like up on the top step, like giving me a thumbs up. The most Goldie thing ever, but that happened the week before the wild card that at bat did. So Tori had a lot of confidence with me hitting, but when, you know, you come in for a situation like that, I'm going through the lineup and Tori's like, hey, if we get to your spot, you're going to hit. And I'm like six guys away. Well, I'm like, all right, we've probably scored some runs if it gets to my spot. Yeah. And then next thing you know, I'm in the box, you know, like, oh shit, it's a wild card game. We got a one run lead and I'm fucking hitting
right now.
It was the bottom of the seventh.
How amazing is that?
Man?
It was unbelievable. I came in, actually, I got LeMahieu to ground out first pitch, something like that. And then, yeah, went in. And then, same thing. And next thing you know, I'm on deck. And it's like, all right, you know, come on. I think Mathis was in front of me, like, hey, get a hit here. You know, I don't want to, I want to, but you always dream about a moment like this, especially as a pitcher. And next thing you know, I'm facing Neshek, all star. And it's like, yo, this is the wild card game. This is it right now. Like, this is the biggest moment of my career, and I'm in the box.
That was sick.
That's like your dream come true, right?
1,000%. Oh my God. In a playoff game?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Oh my God.
Well, so cool stuff. So I found out, not to talk about myself, but I found out I was the only relief pitcher ever to hit a triple in the postseason.
Damn, man.
Like, you know, you think about how long the game's been around. Yeah. It's like, I did something that's never been done.
Never been done.
So that was cool. But same thing, you know, hitters, position players should have way more fun than pitchers. That's the thing I'm most jealous about being a pitcher is, you know, they have their handshakes, which I'm a big handshake guy now. Yeah. I put myself in the handshake. I don't give it often. Relief pitcher, not, I don't care. That's my thing. But they hit homers, they get to point at people, and I'm always jealous of that. You know, I don't ever get this, I'm not going to strike
you never
guy
get
out.
Fired
I'm
like, up. Point like, yeah.
But I slid into third, you know, huge moment, and I had a group of friends that drove out to see me. My family was right there above the dugout, and I was like, I get to point at somebody. So I'm sitting there just pointing at my family. And then they made a freaking bobblehead of it. I'm a pitcher and I get a bobblehead of me hitting, so my teammates can never say shit to me.
Living with chronic pain is the worst. It's more than a feeling of discomfort. It can affect every aspect of your life. Many of our listeners probably have some type of pain that has prevented them from relaxing and sleeping or stopped them from exercising. Enter Omax Health. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD Roll-On, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple-action pain relief roll-on is specially formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. The best part? It's 100% natural, CBD-powered remedy, works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, much longer than over-the-counter products. Simply roll it over where it hurts and ice out the pain. I can tell you multiple times within the last week when I've been ready to work out, I feel a little tweak, sort of lower right back. I roll on the CBD roll-on, courtesy of Omax, the cryo-free CBD roll-on, and I get on the Peloton or I do my workout and I feel good. I don't feel that pain anymore and I don't have any lasting issues with it either. Omax Health is offering our listeners 20% off a full bottle of CryoFreeze CBD Pain Relief Roll-On plus free shipping. This discount also applies towards any product site-wide. Just go to omaxhealth.com today and enter the code R2C2, that is omaxhealth.com, and enter code R2C2 to get 20% off CryoFreeze and site-wide.
RG, I have to ask you about like the beard, because like, so this is the story I have. And you tell us if it's true that Robbie Ray suggested you grow one, right? Like you had never considered growing it. And then at the start of 2017 spring training, you return, you have the beard, and you said you don't believe in special powers, but it's funny because as soon as you grew the beard, you started to pitch better. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the story. I did No Shave November. I'm an Oklahoma guy. I like to hunt. Back home, it's cold, and I brought it to spring, and, you know, we have team barbers tighten us up, and so I was like, yo, chop this thing off. He's like, hey, let me shape you up first. Like, let me just shape it up. You got a big beard, and he shaped it up, and I'm not gonna lie, I was looking at myself, I was like, dang,
this is my work. Like, you know,
like, it's nice and square. Like, right there. It was bushy, man. It was like, and then like he shaped it up nice and square, and I was like, dang, this is kind of sick. And so I rolled into it, and like, you know, I was battling to make the team that year. I didn't know if I was gonna be a starter or whatever. And they told me really early on, like, hey, you're not gonna be a starter, but we're gonna put you in the pen to start the year. And I was like, dope. I made the team with the beard, I'm just gonna roll with it. And then real quickly to start that year, things took off. And yeah, I was like, hey, my velo's back. I'm throwing hard again. I'm punching dudes' tickets. Like, it's the beard, you know?
Keep it. Now you can't shave it, though.
Well, it blew up, man. Like, there's a lot of guys that have had good beards. Still guys that have good beards. But AZ just took off with it. Next you know, they're making a t-shirt. Next you know, I'm coming in and people are wearing fake beards. And next you know, old women are wearing fake beards. And I was like, oh, shit, this is like a mind of its own now. Like, I can't shave. This is stuck.
That's fantastic.
Big Oklahoma fan, right?
Huge.
Oklahoma football.
Big time.
What do you think CD Lamb? I want him on the Raiders,
dude.
Man.
He is his like he not only goes and gets balls, but he's not afraid of contact, man. His yards after catch and what he does, and he is a physical man.
And his route running.
Oh, dog.
Now, he's gonna be
he goes up and gets it. He's legit, man.
I'm excited. Yeah. I think he slips that.
That's it. Yeah, I love C's relationship with the Raiders because no matter how much they lose, that's the one team.
So does anything change with them going to Vegas?
No. Fuck no. As long as they still got silver and black.
So that's where I missed out on. I don't know if there's a waiting list, but from an investment standpoint, I should have bought season tickets. Because you're always going to sell that home game. And people want to come into Vegas. Yeah. It's a trip. It's an experience. And
that's true.
You bank.
Yep. That's a great point, man. Yep. It's a great point.
Thoughts, man. Always. Always. I have a ton of second thoughts. I'm like, damn it, man.
Hey, how about, I mean, speaking of Oklahoma, you play in Arizona. Cardinals quarterback's an Oklahoma guy. Have you gotten to know Kyler Murray at all?
I say yes more in my head than actually in person.
You have conversations in your head with them.
People like to link us together because of the Oklahoma thing, me going there. But I caught his first pitch last year and just here and there, little things.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm super proud of him. Like to have those expectations. And I mean, think about the start of your career. Win the Heisman, first overall pick, and then go win Rookie of the Year and set, you know, franchise records in rookie, you know, stuff here in AZ. He's a stud, man.
Yeah, oh, I can't wait to watch him this year.
I hope they just put more pieces around him because he's got the tools to be able to be a great quarterback in this league for sure.
I was praying that somehow Arizona didn't Who did they draft the year before they ended up trading? Quarterback.
Drew Rosen.
Yeah. I was hoping they didn't trade him and like they, they passed on Kyler.
I was so confident about it. We do our fantasy stuff. Yeah. I know the GM for the Cardinals, Kime, and I straight up texted him. I was like, yo, draft this guy. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, like, forget the baseball stuff. It's an act. Like, this guy can play football. Like, he is legit, man.
Yeah. He is, oh my gosh. Oh, because the Giants picked whatever they picked that year. I'm like, please drop to the Giants. Please drop. Because I know he's fun to watch too, man. Oh, he is such a stud. Like, the sports scene in Arizona, Archie, how would you describe it? Like the way the fans are out here?
I would say the fans we have are great. I really do mean that, but the sports scene is tough.
Yeah.
It really is. I think as I've grown and matured and you understand logistics and dynamics and just how the whole culture works in a sports city, we're not connected. Like the NFL and NHL are off in Glendale, and then we have the Diamondbacks and the Suns downtown.
Right.
And there's kind of a disconnect of separation of how far apart we are. And then talking baseball-wise, this is where I take a lot of pride in where I'm at now, but I'm older than the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
I'm 27 years old and I'm older than the team I'm playing for.
Yeah, that's
and so now that I've lived here for a few years, I understand the dynamic that we're facing. The challenges is no one grew up a Diamondbacks fan.
Yeah.
So like talk about shit in New York, like the shit here that pisses me off. This has nothing to do with me hating the Dodgers or any other team, but the Dodgers have a great fan base. And when we play at home against the Dodgers, it's an away game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's more Dodgers fans in our stadium when we played you guys at home. I mean, the Yankees travel, but it's consistent and it's not of us not having bad fans. It's a lack of being around longer. We've been around 26 years. And so it's tough sometimes, man. It's tough when you go to a game and you just give up a home run and you hear cheers at your home stadium. Yeah. You know, that shit's tough. It's fucking annoying. And so not that I'm changing the game here, but I took this approach of a lot of guys don't like to get involved with the team. You know, fuck the team. I'm about myself, blah, blah. But like, real quickly, I was like, why not try to build this? Be a part of, be more active, like truly dive into this community and try to grow Arizona fans.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah, it is. I think it's hard too because this is like a spring training spot. So
yes.
Giants fans feel comfortable coming down here. Yeah. Dodgers fans feel comfortable. Like, you know, the teams that have teams down here feel comfortable. Hey, I'll just go see them in Arizona.
Right.
So that makes it hard too.
Yeah. Have you ever had that experience of being in a stadium and having...
I play for the Yankees.
No. But you played for the Indians before. You have more fans of the other team.
Nah.
You guys...
Nah, not in Cleveland.
Really?
Cleveland's home. I mean, that's a sports town.
It is. But I didn't know if like in some first, of those lean years, like, you know?
Man, I mean, they lean still... Years. My first 2 years were sellouts.
Yeah.
And then the next 5 years, you know, until 07.
Right.
It was lean, but still. I mean, when we played the Yankees, it would still be all the Indians fans would come to that.
Got you.
You know what I'm saying? So,
got you. So you're not hearing loud cheers for the
Old Coast. No. That city is crazy about their sports team.
Because I would think that would be like just psychologically sort of difficult to deal with.
I remember Didi got a standing ovation in
Anaheim.
Anaheim, and he came out. And I remember Chris Young was pissed. Yeah. He was so mad. And we all friends and shit. I remember we went to dinner after the game. He was like, man, why Didi do that shit? I was like, what you mean, Didi? It was the fucking fans.
It wasn't
Didi's fault. No. He got a curtain call. Like,
oh,
he was pissed about that shit.
That's funny though, man. Oh my gosh, dude. I think that for Yankee fans was like one of the most prideful moments. It was like, yo, we got a curtain call on the road.
Yeah, on the road.
Like, seriously. By the way, have you ever like, what's the depth on the beard? I'm looking at it like you could really lose something in there. Like,
Have you
tried a pencil? Like,
yeah, no, we've done a few things. I got to Jake Owen. He's a country star. I got to announce him on stage like with my beard.
Sick.
People bought shows like a secret show, and I got to go out and like, oh, I've got who's performing here. Pulled it out of my beard.
That's it on stage.
I've lost some seeds in it. It's honestly like I love it. I'm not going to shave it, but it's just kind of annoying now, to be honest. Yeah. It doesn't bother me, but like I used to do a lot of upkeep, and like now I just get lazy with it, man.
Yeah.
I'm cutting this shit off.
Are you?
Like I thought I wanted a beard, like all them years I had to shave, but like now it's like, it's too much.
See, my thing is now I'm scared of what I look like. I haven't seen my face in 4 years. That like, you know, first came up, I was a little pudgy, wasn't, you know, and it's like now I'm a little more in shape, but like, I don't know what I look like, man. I'm talking to this girl right now and I brought up, I was like, yo, like, what if you don't like what I look like when I shave? You know? Like, I hope what we're building is real right now. Like,
I can't promise you're gonna like it,
you know?
So,
you know what's funny about that though is like a good like a. I feel like the number one feedback on beards like is like women, they don't like it though because it scrapes their face.
Well,
man.
They either love it or they yeah. don't. Yeah. Like yeah. my wife likes my beard, but you know they. I mean, Guardy's wife hate his beard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it just depends on it. Just
one
depends
way or
on
another. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like if she's accepting of it, once she feels the smooth face, you might be dangerous.
You might be in trouble.
Yeah. You might not be able to go back, man. You might be in trouble there. Speaking of like, you know, knowing if something's real, have you guys watched Love Is Blind yet on Netflix, the new dating show?
No.
See, this is going
to
be right
this
up
is
your
the
alley.
One where they walk into that thing and then they talk to each other.
Yeah, they're in the pods.
Like the pods.
Yes.
We tried. That shit is trash.
No, it's not.
It is trash.
It is wonderful.
I was just in Finland for a week with no TV and we tried to watch every show on Netflix. Dude, we couldn't get through that.
No, man. How hard you try?
We tried really
you
hard.
Try hard.
We watched
man.
Two episodes.
You got Did you really?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's great now. And I hate reality TV. I don't watch any of it. I am so hooked on this thing. It's fantastic.
Is it a week to week show or they put it all out?
They put out not all of it, but they put a bunch of it out, I think. Yeah, you right. might maybe dive back.
Yeah,
in.
Maybe I'll try.
I will say this: I didn't catch the pods. I caught like right at the end when they made their decisions in the pods.
Oh yeah, see, but you got that's not part of the show.
But the rest of it's great. So maybe like skip ahead to like the very end of the pods, and then like, do you know the concept, Archie?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of off on it. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest.
Don't waste your time on this bullshit.
It's, the show is this. So they put a bunch of girls, a bunch of guys in like houses near each other, and they have these dates, but they're sitting in pods where they're talking across
walls. Can't see each other.
They can't see each other.
And then they have to propose. Without seeing each other.
Yeah. Like, legit with the ring.
To get married. And then they get to see each other, and then they all go on. Like,
I'll stick to 90 Day Fiancé. That's more of my alley.
Come on, 90 Day Fiancé.
I love that shit.
Have you watched Married at First Sight?
Yeah.
That's good, man. That. Lifetime.
90 Day Fiancé.
I'll stick to The Bachelor.
And Love After Lockup. Love After Lockup.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Love After Lockup.
People that come out of jail and like they
find love.
They marry these pen pals that they had in jail.
Oh, gosh.
It's great.
If the girl you're talking to now, like if let's say she wasn't in the picture, because we don't want to blow up that spot. I hope it goes wonderfully.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you ever, if like one of these shows ever approached you, would you be down to do it?
No, I couldn't.
No.
It's like, to get deep real quick, I believe in real love and that shit. And
me too.
Real, man.
That's not real.
And like,
you don't think you can find real love on these shows?
No, not at all.
No.
I think
what
that shit's
like
so
Ryan
stupid.
And Trista from The Bachelor, who's still married all these years later.
I don't even know who that is.
Like, well, this is the most common thing we talk about. Like, The Bachelor in these shows is the only way that girls ever like, oh yeah, go talk to as many girls as you want and hope you love me. You know, nowhere else is that allowed.
No
like, I just think the concept is like, I think it's great. Honestly, I think it's entertaining, but it's not real.
Yeah, yeah. I would tend to agree. It's also like, some of these dudes, I'm like, you got to be watching back. Like, painfully embarrassing. Like, some of the stuff you say and the way you react.
Reality TV is just, I mean, I love to consume it. I watch that shit like crazy, but I would never do it.
No.
Never.
If they
ever.
Were like, we want to do a Sabathia house show.
Never in my life.
No, you don't want the cameras.
No, hell no.
It's a big crew there.
Yeah.
Archie, I'm a big love guy too, so I like hearing you say that, man.
Love or not a fighter, man.
Like,
you
know,
come on,
you
got to stay true to who I am.
So it's like all like growing up, like whatever, one of my favorite quotes is, I love love. Like, I do. I love love. Like, I do. It's beautiful, man. Like, it's a beautiful thing. Like, movie Love Actually, one of my favorites of all time.
Man.
Still mad at Snape for cheating on Emma Thompson,
this
man. It's messed up. It's really messed up. So, Archie, how about, like, you know, you're growing up in Oklahoma and you're playing quarterback in high school, right? Like, what's the high school football scene like in Oklahoma?
It's big.
Yeah.
I mean, just like, you know, I would say Texas is the forefront. They set the bar of stadiums and stuff. But like, even now in my high school, we have a 50-yard indoor. We have a 100-yard weight room. I mean, like, most kids, unless you're going to a D1 program, at least from my school and the schools we play, you're downgrading.
Wow.
It is insane. I mean, from the facilities to even the school itself. You pulled my school and there's building A through double K. That's how many classrooms and buildings
there are. Are you serious?
The front of it looks like a D2, D1 Division A school. It is insane. I went to school with 4,600 kids. I graduated with like 1,100 kids in my high school.
Oh my goodness. That's a huge school, man.
Yeah.
Huge.
But football's big, man. Massive.
So are you thinking like, when you're growing up, are you thinking like, oh, I'm going to be the next quarterback of the Sooners? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once, like every kid, you start playing quarterback. I started to play, you know, decent. I knew I had an arm. And then things started to pick up. It's like, yeah, if I'm going to go anywhere, I'm going to go to Oklahoma. That was always number one for me. And yeah, I'm a Sooner. Always.
Always. I love it.
How did kind of like, how did baseball become your path?
I just threw hard, man. Like, yeah. That's people always talking about that. And like, I just always threw hard. I was always tall and lean. Like, I did stuff where like you looked at it and you're like, man, that was good, but it didn't look very good. You know, like a weird athlete for a long time. And then, I remember my freshman year, did you do area code games?
Area code.
So yeah. I made area code games as a freshman. And like, that was kind of a big deal in my area. Like, you didn't make it unless you're a junior or senior.
That's a huge deal. Yeah.
And I went up to area code games my freshman year and I hit like 92. And I remember seeing the sea of radar guns come up and like that moment, everything changed. Like that, going into that sophomore year, I could have gone any baseball school in the country. Baseball was like, not that I made it, but at least college wise, like, I was already going there. And then football just kind of slowly followed. It was a slower trickle because people were so focused on baseball, but football picked up as my personality and talent picked up. So, I mean, a lot of stuff football-wise, I kind of put myself into.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, this is a true story. Like, the Elite 11, you know what the Elite 11 is? So, I made the Elite 11 my junior year all because I'm loud as hell.
What's the Elite 11? Like, the Elite 11 is?
They actually invite 12 quarterbacks to make it even, but they call it the Elite 11. And it's supposedly the top quarterbacks in the country.
Amazing.
Go out for a week for a quarterback camp and it's showcased on TV and it kind of highlights, you know, the best of the best.
That's sick.
It's almost like QB1 now that they have on Netflix. Okay. It's kind of like that, but it started with the Elite 11.
I was talented and I was good, but we had just lost state in baseball and we had all dyed our hair black and put a gold stripe down the middle, you know, becoming a team, doing our thing. And like, we looked like skunks, but so I stood out because I had this crazy hairdo. And, you know, stars are how you get rated. And I was pretty pissed. I was only a 3-star quarterback. Still, my teammates give me shit all the time because I'm only a 3-star. So I go into this camp and I'm a big gear guy too. And this the head of the camp guy's wearing this dope Nike shirt. And I was like, hey, let me get that shirt. And he's like, we can't give you stuff. And I was like, well, what if I win it? He's like, all right, if you win this Golden Gun Accuracy Challenge, I'll give you the shirt today. And not only did I win it, I set the high score for the whole summer. But the whole time I was running around like, hey, give me that shirt, give me that shirt, just talking trash. And I made it. And he's like, dog, honestly, one of the reasons you made it, because when you first were there, you were so loud that everyone noticed you. And then you backed it up with kind of your performance. And so I kind of put myself in the Elite 11 conversation.
So when you're, I mean, because you get drafted out of high school as a first rounder, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, your seventh overall pick, I believe, right? So, but at that point, was any part of you thinking you were going to play college football?
Oh yeah, I mean, stupid. Like, I signed for $5 million, and like understanding now what that means at 18 years old. Like, my dad wanted to choke slam me when I told him like, I don't know what I want to do, and he's like, son, shut the hell up. My dad's great. My dad's my best friend now, but my dad mowed lawns for a living. Like, truly, weed eaters. Like, edged up people's lawns, and I got suspended from school my senior year. My mom was my principal. And I remember going to work for my dad, and he literally like shoved the weed eater on me and was like, is this what you want to do, son? Is this what you want to fucking do? You know, not that you had it rough, but like, you know, like, you have scholarship offers, all this shit. Like, look at what you're doing. And going through that draft process, he's like, son, I could mow a million lawns and not make what you just turned down at 18 years old. And like, that for me kind of changed everything in that moment. Yeah. So.
And where were you going to go if you didn't go to if you didn't go to the draft, do you know?
Oklahoma. I was committed to Oklahoma.
You were committed. Okay, all right.
They had worked out a dual scholarship where they were going to make the football baseball thing work. Coach Stoops, it was going to be dope, man.
That's dope.
I was fired up.
Do you ever go back? Do you ever think back and think like.
Now, since I've made it to the big leagues and I'm kind of developing myself into a full career, I get to talk like, now I can say the what ifs.
For sure.
Before, I used to let everyone else, but now I was like, no, we don't want a national championship. go look at the high school quarterbacks I was ranked ahead of. Dak Prescott, Johnny Manziel, all these guys. Not Jameis Winston. He was a little higher in high school. Who's the dude from Oregon? Won the Heisman.
Marcus Mariota.
I was ranked higher than all those guys in high school, so I would have won a Heisman.
That is pretty sick, though, man. Like, this goes back to your point about playing multiple sports, bro.
The first person I think about, like, from my draft is Drew Henson, who was fucking unbelievable, and Adam Dunn. People don't know he played quarterback at Texas.
Really?
Yeah,
big boy.
His first year. I mean, Adam Dunn can throw a football 60 yards in the air. He can't throw a ball from left field to fucking second base on the line. But I promise you, he can throw a football fucking 60 yards in the air. Like, he's unbelievable athlete. So, like, I always go back to that.
But
man,
talking on that, because we talk about that. Going back to you, is that what you did?
What? Play sports?
Multiple sports.
Yeah, I played all three.
Because we're talking about, like, the let the kids play, but even more just playing in general. Like, people always ask, like, my parents, well, what did you do with Archie to give him the big leagues?
Yeah.
And, like, it was a joke. It's like, we gave him cereal and then more sugar. Like, I was a kid who put more sugar on top of my sugared cereal. Like, I just listen to kids now in these lessons and developments. It's like, dude, I played soccer. I played baseball. I played basketball. I swung golf clubs. And, like, We're getting so far away from what is natural.
When you were swinging a golf club, now these kids are getting lessons.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying? And they're,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I love TrackMan, but now a 7-year-old's hitting golf balls on TrackMan. It's like, goddamn, man.
Like, but even like, I mean, you got 12-year-olds that are pitcher onlys. Like, my son started playing with kids with travel ball that are now 16 that have had Tommy John.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
Was there player rankings when you were coming up in like youth ball or summer ball?
It wasn't. Nah, it wasn't.
It just started when I was coming up in summer ball.
Like how old?
Like 12, 13. Like yeah, I no, remember. See, oh, yeah. No, like you'd be playing against a 13-year-old and be like, this is the best player in the country.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Or we had, like, even I was ranked at 12, 13, 14 years old. You know what I mean? And like, I look at all those guys, and not in a bad way, but like, dude, no one ranks kids at 12.
Yeah. Nobody. Like, what are we doing? Yeah. Right.
Also, like, are you telling me somebody out there is watching every friggin' 12-year-old? Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, oh my God.
That's what I'm saying, bro. There's a 12-year-old right now that nobody's ever seen. That's going to be the best player in the big league. You know what I'm saying?
There's also a 12-year-old who is in front of a TrackMan swinging his 500th swing of the day at 12 years old.
Yeah.
It's like,
you know what
on.
I mean? Like, yeah. I definitely think there's a time to like, okay, you're 14, 15 years old. You show this promise. Let's get a little more.
Yeah.
But like, before you're in high school, I don't know. I'm not on board.
But not even in high school. I got a sophomore, and they're trying to make him pick baseball. Like, he can play basketball.
Yeah,
I've watched this motherfucker. Like, he can play varsity basketball.
Right.
But the coach is asking me, is he a 4-year basketball player? Probably. No, I don't fucking know. Like, you know what I'm saying? How the fuck you gonna ask me that right now?
This is what I hate about what coaches say. Well, are you gonna go pro in basketball? I'm not playing it to go pro. I'm playing it to be a damn sport. Yeah, My friends play basketball. Right. I want to go hoop.
I'm trying to make a better athlete. Yeah. The other sports make you a better athlete.
But we're so focused on now what I think is like making your son a professional because there's a technology and the sources to pay for lessons and do this. But like, I don't know. You're either going to make it or you're not. I think there's a point to get there, but like, you can't make your kid a professional.
No. Nobody can. No.
Right. It's got to be in there. And see, what position did you play in the other sports when you were in high school?
I played quarterback and then my freshman and sophomore year. And then I played tight end and DN my junior and senior year. And then I was a 4. But my sophomore year basketball, I played the 2.
Gotcha.
And then I grew. So from my sophomore year to my junior year, I went from 6'3 to 6'6, 250.
Wow.
So that all my positions changed. I went from left field to first base,
from
a 2 to a 4, from a quarterback to a tight end, you know what I'm saying?
You went from 5 stolen bases to 10 stolen bases. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have people interested in you for those other sports as well, colleges and whatnot?
I only signed a football scholarship.
Okay.
I wasn't. And that's why I didn't go to college.
I didn't even know that. That's cool.
That's why I didn't go to college because they're going to turn me into an offensive. Look at me. I would have been a fucking tackle. I want to score a touchdown. So I'm not coming to your school to fucking go play
offensive.
I want
the glory, baby.
No chance. Yeah. So that's why it was easy for me to pick baseball.
But you had signed a football
scholarship. Yeah, I signed a football scholarship.
Where were we
going to Hawaii.
Go? Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But so like nobody
knew this.
The legend grows, man.
Nobody would ever give me like a duel.
Yeah.
So like Cal wanted me to come there to play baseball.
Yep.
USC wanted me to come and play football. UCLA, I wanted to go to UCLA. Like, that was my school.
Yeah.
And they were like, nah, you come here, you're going to play tight end. I'm like, fuck you, that's a tackle. I'm not going to be a tackle. You know what I'm saying?
Especially back then, the tight end wasn't
the position it is now.
Nope. The only one that was good back then was Tony Gonzalez. That caught passes, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, nah, I think I'm going to just try this baseball thing. If it don't work out, then I'll come back and go to Hawaii.
Well, that's wild, man. I can't believe I didn't know that. It's good. We needed you here, Archie.
Yeah, let's go. I love it.
I love it. And you're a huge hoops fan too, right, Archie?
Big sneaker fan, hoops players, not necessarily a team. That's one of the things growing up in Oklahoma I was robbed of. When I was growing up at the time, we didn't have a professional team.
Yeah.
So I remember when Katrina happened and the Hornets, they were the Hornets then in New Orleans. They came over and Chris Paul playing in Oklahoma City. And this was like, okay, Oklahoma can handle a professional team. And then we got the Thunder and KD and now Chris Paul's back in OKC. Yeah. So I'm a huge Thunder fan.
Got you. I did their game Friday night. Yeah. I was just there. Man, we were just talking about it in a cab after the airport. Like, Chris Paul is
38 years old? 30,
like 34, but 34, but still,
my bad. I didn't mean to do you like that.
But this is his biggest accomplishment. Like, I mean, he ain't won no championships or nothing like that, but if he takes this team to the playoffs, then this would be his biggest accomplishment in his career, for sure.
I hope he does.
Thunder up.
Oh, man. They
just threw him away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, he was basically like, oh, well, you're going to get rust, you can have CP3, whatever.
Just threw him away.
You guys aren't going to compete, and Here we are.
It's amazing. Like, I know, right? Think about all the draft picks they got in that deal.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, we'll give you Chris Paul, too.
Yeah.
And now, you know, and I think, like, it's it's done wonders too, I think, for Oklahoma City as a team. Because now even like it's like, hold on a second. If you want to trade Chris in the offseason or something,
you get value now.
We were talking about like buyouts.
Well, not
like
only that, but like what he's brought, like, so being a fan, I mean, I have a hard time with the KD thing because I see it from his athlete standpoint about wanting to go win a championship and control your destiny. He did that. He won two championships. I hope I get to go win a championship.
Right.
But also, he was OKC's first guy, man. Yeah. Imagine, he's our first true major sports like figure to look at. And you lose to Golden State and then go join them. Like, that ripped us, man. And, like, then Russ, you know, the whole thing. Like, I have nothing against Russ. Like, people talked about all the antics and stuff, but he gave his heart, man. He plays so hard. And, like, as an athlete, that's all you can ask for. But when he left, now I was like, dang, we're going to rebuild now. Yeah. Like, Oklahoma City's been so high with these superstars. This is our first, like, as a fan base to kind of tuck below and maybe not compete, you know? Yeah. And, like, we get this out of CP3 and just the way the team has played in general, it's been cool, man.
So I love Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, man. He can play. He's a damn all good player.
All of them,
man.
He's going to be good.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be
real good. I love Steven Adams, too.
He's a genius, I like Steven. He had my game the other night. He had like 18 rebounds. Like
So I read something with him, like his offseason training includes drinking a Guinness after every workout. Like, he goes with this one pint. I think I read it, but also nutritionally, it's a value for him. Like the protein and whatever is in the Guinness, man. It's part of his offseason program.
Dude, it's amazing like how there are different people who have like, you know, just like things that you think like that can't be a healthier part of it. It's like, no, it's part of their routine.
You've been inside a clubhouse. I mean, there's a lot that's not healthy.
If it works, it works, man. Yeah. It's like the Snickers bar for Andy Ruiz when he won his heavyweight title, man. It's like, that's his fuel. But I read some story like a couple months ago. It was like men's health, and it was like they talked to 7 of the oldest living people on the planet. And they're like, what's one thing you've done like every day? And like the bizarre things that you'd be like, that can't be good. There was like a 107-year-old woman who like, she would always have like a double shot of whiskey after lunch or something.
Oh, that was Yogi drinking this much vodka every day.
Who's Yogi? Oh, Yogi. Jeez, I don't know him as Yo.
not on a level.
Yogi drank like 8 ounces of vodka every day.
See, and he was, you know, brilliantly lucid till the end. Right, God bless his soul. It's amazing, like the things that you could do that can get you there. You know, I mean, it's funny how people have their different routines. So, like when you're not playing, Archie, like what do you consume yourself with most? Like, what are you most
like during the season or like at the field or either off
one.
Season?
Yeah, either one. We know you hunt now.
Yeah, I hunt. I would say in the season, man, I pride myself in a lot of being a team guy, man. Like,
yeah.
I kind of went back, you know, this is a little insight. Like, I am so jealous of position players and even starters sometimes because they're in the dugout. They're around each other all the time.
Yeah.
And I have this real issue with the pen. And it's just simply like where they placed it. Like, whose idea was it to separate a group of guys as far away from the team as possible?
That's a good point.
Like, I hate it, man. It's my least favorite thing about being in the bullpen is not being around my teammates during the game.
Yeah.
Because like you're talking about, you started the fight for losing one time. I talk so much shit from the bullpen. But no one ever hears me because I'm so far down. And same thing, I hype up my guys so much, like little shit, man. When a guy stretches a single to a double, that's fucking huge. Like, I value winning baseball plays and winning baseball. And so I'm yelling at my guys. I'm like, damn, they don't even know I'm down here, you know?
Yeah.
So one day I went in and I was like, yo, next time y'all hit a double or hit a homer and you don't point down to us at the fucking bullpen, I'm not talking to any of you. Because we are going nuts. You just hit a homer. Man. I don't have to pitch tonight now. Like, show us some love, man. Our saying is we are people too. You know what I mean? You know, so, but I love put a lot that. Of focus of, I turn the baseball field into my office. Like, we talk about early on the way you view going to the field and feeling comfortable. And the way I really started to feel comfortable was like viewing baseball like a real job. Like, not like a sport or like, well, no, people get to the office early to get stuff done. So I'm going to start getting to my office early and getting stuff done. And because I pride myself in being a good teammate and pushing the team in a direction to win, like if I'm there greeting guys every day or setting the mood, setting the music up, hyping guys out, like that's me. That's my niche. That's what I can do to help us win. And like I got consumed with that.
That's awesome. Yeah, just find it however you can influence.
Yeah, because like, you know, I realize I understand my role on a team and on the field. Like, if I do everything right, I pitch for half an inning and my day is done. And that's the only interaction on the field I get. And so, yeah, I'm a hype man. I'm the DJ. I'm loud. But like the concept of being a team member and like this clicked for me a couple years ago that we control if we win or not. I know that may sound crazy, but it finally clicked. Like,
I'm not scared to say anything anymore, because when I'm saying something or I'm talking to a guy or I'm playing music or I'm suggesting something, it's because I want us to win and I think it's going to help us win. And that finally clicked for me a couple years ago, and it's changed like the way I view everything I do.
And there's real value in that. I mean, I wouldn't have, I mean, my career would have been done 5 years ago if I didn't care about my teammates, yeah. Or, you know, my teammates didn't, I didn't have a good relationship.
Well, yeah, like,
that's real.
Oh, I'm glad we brought this up, because it's one of my favorite stories about you. Like, when you threw at the Rays, you said, "That's for your bitch ass." Like, oh, yeah. That was so fucking cool. Another player, like, that was like, damn, dog. And because you had 500 grand on the line, I think. Yeah. Like, yeah. I know you made money, but still, 500 G's is cash, man. Yeah. You got kids, like, that's spending money. And, like, yeah. You said, fuck that cash. Like, I'm going to back my teammates up. And that was fucking cool, man.
Thank you.
That was our favorite meme, I think, in the group chat. And that is actually now the name of our group chat.
Wow.
Yes, it's, dude, that was an epic moment. That, and you know what, it's also like, when you think about stories too, and like, you have a very decorated career, but like, that's going to be one of the first stories
without
people
a doubt.
Tell when they're like going back.
I think that shows why you're so loved and why you have fans and why guys like me look up to you, because you have the same sense of wanting to win. And that comes from wanting to win, and like that bond of your teammate. And like, yeah, I will forfeit anything to show him I have his back. And like, ultimately, that's the ultimate sign of respect. And like, that's cool, man.
Thanks.
That's cool.
And I feel like that's the part of it, right? When guys, and you're just experiencing it now, right? Like, when you would be with your team and you're not. But that's the part of it that everyone always says they miss, right? The competition, but the camaraderie, the fact that you're around your brothers all the time, you know, and you're going to battle together.
Which I think, like, is where this can be an avenue for you to continue that.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Being able to talk like that, this is cool, man. I'm enjoying this. Like, this is no, man.
Yeah, it is fun. You're good at this.
Yeah, right. You are. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You need to start one, man. Yeah.
You could do it. But do you think you're going to feel it at some point of the season? Like, man, I miss being around the guys. I mean, you're still going to be around them, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'll be there. Like, I'm not, it's not like I'm not around. Like, I'm fortunate enough to still, you know, work for the Yankees and, you know, be around and still have great relationships with those guys. So, like, I talk to Hixie every day.
Yeah.
Talk to Judgy. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, at this point in my life, like, it's best for me to be home, my family, my kids, and, like, just hanging out. Like, I feel like, you know, I did this for a long time. So, I enjoy doing this. Like, I wouldn't be able to be here hanging out with these guys. So, baseball has been a huge blessing to me. And I'm sure at some point I'll miss it. But right now, man, I'm enjoying just this.
This aspect of it.
Just chilling, for sure.
All of sports may be benched, but The Athletic is still coming out with incredible sports stories. You know, sometimes falling into a great sports story and losing track of time is exactly what you need, especially right now. From top local and national sports writers, you get quality, exclusive, in-depth content that goes beyond the box score. You'll get full access to all sports, teams, cities, and writers, and you can customize and choose the content you care about. The Athletic is your one-stop shop for passionate sports fans. I can tell you every single day, I get my email with The Athletic with content that is tailored to my liking, and I'm reading it every single day. Why? Because somehow, even in these trying times, they continue to churn out excellent, top-of-the-line content. You know, none of these stories just to fill column. No. Every story has a purpose to it and a unique thread to it. So that's why I love The Athletic. And right now, The Athletic is offering new customers a 90-day free trial. Why wouldn't you do that? To take advantage of this incredible offer, visit theathletic.com/R2C2, all lowercase, once again, to get started with your 90-day free trial of The Athletic and their complete library of written, audio, and video content. Go to theathletic.com/R2C2.
Archie, how about winning your arbitration case, man?
Yeah, like, that was sick. Yeah. That was fucking cool, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm still on cloud nine about it.
Just happened that, man, recently.
I mean, you know, again, I understand my role, my value. And as a reliever, you know, you got to fight for your shit, man.
Yeah.
Because the way they've used relief pitchers over the last few years, like, Andrew Miller set the bar, but you saw what Betances went through with the Yankees. I mean, dog, they will try to hold your value down and tell you that you're, just because you don't have saves, that you aren't pitching valuable innings. Like, bitch, yeah. That ball would have not got to the ninth inning, yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly. And like, it
and
was
that's
more,
not the game today.
No, but what happened was, yeah, man, I went to the union meetings this year, yeah, for the first time. I'm not a player rep, but I wanted to go to the meetings. I found value in it, and it blew my mind, man. Like, what, yeah, what our union does, the value for what we stand for, and fighting for that, and understanding, you know, this fairy tale world that doesn't exist. I love baseball, but there is a separation between players and the owners, and the, yeah, team and the, huge, players. And I had kind of saw it with some of the stuff we're doing, but it just became so real to me. And like going through numbers, exchanging, you know, my, and I was sitting here like, no offense, a personal thing too. Like, no way I'm going to make less than this guy, this guy, this guy. Like, no fucking way, man. Yeah. And like, it just got to a point where it's like, no, this is, I'm going to go set a value for myself, and win or lose, it doesn't matter because I'm going for myself.
Yeah.
Like, I've pitched these innings. I've busted my ass. I've got a short time to go make the most money I can, especially as a reliever, man.
Especially, yeah,
because,
man,
because the volatility of what you do day, yeah, in and day out, it's couple crazy bad games, man, you're back in the seventh. You just, right, lost your closer's role.
Right.
Now your save money, your arbitration money, that shit's way different for a reliever, man.
Yeah.
You have a couple bad starts, whatever, you finish 500, not talking shit on starters, but you still make cake, man. Still, yeah, you still go get 10, 12 a year, easy.
Yeah.
You blow your closer's role in the middle of the year, man. You're back in a long leverage situation. Like, it's tough.
It is. It's a big difference financially.
So that was more it, is going to move the bar for guys that don't have saves to win. You,
yeah,
know what I mean? Like, and but yeah, we won that shit.
Does the player have to be, yeah, in the hearing?
I don't know if you have to be, but I was going to sit in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what is, because I remember.
No, you don't have to go.
I think it was even, maybe it was Jeter in the beginning of his career, or like talking about like, man, it was like hard to listen to this stuff. Or it was one of those Yankees like at that time. It might have been Derek. What was that? I mean, is it hard to listen to like this organization that wants you, that values you, try and devalue you to get to their number?
I think this is where I would say I separate myself from, yeah, some of those guys, is I have a pretty clear, like, head on my shoulders. Like, I understand the business aspect, yeah, and that is exactly what I was going to fucking say, is, yeah, I am a true self-evaluator. So,
yeah,
I know that some of the shit they're about to say, they're going to try to exaggerate, but, like, yeah,
yeah,
last year I did lose my role. I did have a 7.5 for 2 months of the year. Like, these are, yeah, facts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that you're trying to devalue me, but, like, some of this shit, if you just pitch better or play better, they don't bring this shit up. And,
yeah,
so I was able to evaluate and understand that they're going to attack these certain things, but I've got thick skin. And like, I will say, I've said this earlier this week, that,
yeah,
I have a lot of respect for the Arizona Diamondbacks, or at least for the front office guys, man.
Yeah.
They came in there, they said in the hearing, they talked to me about it beforehand. They even called me in afterwards, and like, I don't care to talk, but my GM was like, yo, door shut right now. You want to tell me to fuck off? Like, you got the floor. You had to sit in there and listen to everyone talk about you, and you just have to fucking sit there. So like, right now, you want to tell me to fuck off, go to hell, I'm fucking your career, whatever, dog, the floor is yours.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot, yeah, of respect for Mike Hazen, man. And I, yeah, feel, I don't know how the Yankees are, a lot of teams like, don't talk to your GM, and like, that's where I'm even different too. Fuck that, man. When I see Mike, when we traded for Bumgarner, I was like, hey, sick trade. Like, I went up and dapped him up, you know what,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
like, because he made a move for us to win. And either way, it was like, I know you don't dislike me, but you have a job you have to do, and I have a job I have to do, and I'm going to make as much money as I can.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the
just,
way to
that's
do
just
it.
Self-evaluating,
yeah,
but I think a lot of baseball players are hard.
They,
I mean,
are.
A lot of athletes, period, have a problem.
The best,
you know,
thing,
self-evaluating.
I thought about living with Jake. Like, that was my favorite thing about living with Jake Lamb, is we are both such true self-evaluators. And we're able to talk shit to each other about, like, dog, you fucking suck right now. Like, you,
yeah,
literally suck. But, like, I think it's okay knowing you suck. It doesn't mean you suck your whole career.
Yeah.
But, like, being able to truly evaluate and, like, look at, like, in the bullpen, I just talked about it. I go in sometimes and, like, man, this guy does not hit down and away fastballs. Bam, homer, game over. Everyone in the world just thinks I just lost the game, and I did. But as a true self-evaluator, I threw the exact pitch I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, like, it's so weird because I learned it real quick. Andrew McCutchen, hit first walk-off ever. I threw the exact pitch I wanted to him, and he popped me.
Wow.
And, like, I had such a hard time mentally understanding. I was like, wait, I threw the pitch I wanted to? Like, I couldn't understand that, like, that's the role I'm in now.
Yeah.
And I did what I wanted to. I can evaluate it and truly say I threw the pitch I wanted to, and I just got beat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm able to go home easy, you know?
It's,
like,
your sport, again, it always comes back to, like, you got to be so
oh,
strong.
Oh, it's
you
all failure.
Man.
It's, yeah, all failure.
It's so much failure. You have to be comfortable,
yeah,
with it.
Which is,
it breaks you, you
talking about,
program,
like, this stuff and listening to Tim, and I saw Yelich, yeah, say something the other day about getting more out and being open. That's why baseball players are so scared to open up and be themselves because, like I said, as a fan base, when you start to listen to that stuff, but a guy goes out and blows a game, they don't want to see you on Instagram the next day. You know,
right,
what I mean? That's
right,
the,
right,
the, I kind of said it from the beginning, you know, they put such a, an, whatever you want to call it, weight on performance, being able to justify the way you should act or express
yourself.
The way
yourself. You live.
Yeah. The way
no,
you
it's
live.
Not,
exactly.
It's like your perform. I mean, And I think that's all embedded in baseball players.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I played 11 years in New York, and I would have dinners, like, scheduled for, like, the night that I pitch. And then if I pitch bad, I'm like, fuck that, I ain't going. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's just like, oh, no, I didn't pitch good, so yeah. I don't deserve to go out on a night in a town in New York. You know what I mean? Like, I was like that for a long time.
It's funny. I'm just now getting comfortable with that stuff. Even with, like, say, family coming into town. If I was playing bad, I felt weird about bringing my family down on the field or friends coming to see me, like, from out of town. It's like, I finally was be like, just because I play baseball, I can't take baseball home with me. Just like you can't take your job home with you or anyone, whatever. Like, when the game's done, man, I try to separate myself from letting baseball affect the rest of my life. But I think what you said is exactly right. They try to take down the whole way you live. You know what I mean? Like for example, man, it's the smallest thing, but it's where I'm at now being comfortable. I just listened to Tim and all these players. I love the platform with where we're at now. Like, my ears being pierced.
Yeah.
It used to be such a big issue. I used to be so scared of people's reactions and like, oh, he's got his ears pierced. White guy, is he trying to fit in? Like, what's his deal? Yeah. But it's like, I've always wanted my ears pierced. I think earrings are sick. I love the dangles. I love the diamonds.
It looks
like,
great, man. It looks terrific.
I love them. And like, finally it was like, no, like, I don't care if I go out and post a 9 ERA. I'm going to have my ears pierced. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't affect who I am or like baseball or anything. And so, yeah.
You know what else it is too? Like, I do think, like, with these sort of platforms and such, when you can express yourself, it allows you to dive into nuance a little more, right? In long form things. So it's like, you know, anybody who takes the time to listen to your upcoming podcast, whenever you start hosting it or whatever, and you explain, or is just listening to this, is going to say like, yeah, like, why do I think this person can't go out to dinner
when they lose a game? It's crazy.
You know, like, because your sport is based on failure. Some days you are going to lose and you're still going to need to eat those days. You know, like, I mean, it's the reality of this sport.
Nah, it's different though, because basketball, you know, guys are going to go out and score their 20 points.
Yes, 100%.
So they don't give a shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Baseball, I mean, you can go in the slump for, I can not win a game for a month.
Right.
So it's, you know, I mean, it's crazy.
Look at what you went through last year, Archie, right? Like, you're sitting on in late June with an ERA near 6, and then all of a sudden you finish the season. Kudos to you, my man. 36 and two-third innings, you gave up just 24 hits and pitched to a 1.47 ERA.
That shit started in New York City.
Oh, that
I got
game
my first save of the season in New York.
I remember
against
the
Yankees.
I was broadcasting.
And
that
was my first save of the year, and everything took off from there.
Wow.
Everything took off from there.
I remember that game.
Yeah, so that's a story I wanted to tell this. I told you I had a CC story. So I'm a big, I'm not going to say autograph collector of guys I like, guys I admire. I'm not afraid to ask for jerseys and stuff. I think it's so cool. I think it's the ultimate form of flattery. And like, I love being a fan of guys. I think it's so cool. And so, you know, I met you at the golf tournament. Remember we played some cards together, Pebble Beach, and that was like, damn, I played cards with CeCe. You know what I mean? That was one of my little like, hey, I played with CeCe.
That's cool, man.
That was a cool thing for me. And so fast forward to New York, you know, I got there early. I'd never been to Yankee Stadium. That's like the pinstripes, Yankee Stadium, Steinbrenner, Babe Ruth. I mean, I'm all about it, dog. I'm freaking out. I'm games at 7. I'm at the field, I think, at like noon. I'm ready to be at Yankee Stadium. I'm ready to go to Monument Park, everything. I was even hoping y'all might be doing a podcast, like sneaking on that shit. Like, and everyone just talks about Yankee Stadium, and it lives up to it, dog. Like the visiting clubhouse, I was like, oh, I'm in the big leagues now, man. I made it.
Oh, it's pretty good, right?
Than anything I've ever seen. So I go to the clubby, and first off, there's like 15 clubbies in New York. You know, there's not just 3 or 4, there's 15. I said, hey, I know real early on, I need a jersey that I want to send to CeCe and a jersey that I want to send to Aaron Judge. And he goes, hey, are you going to write a note to CeCe? And I panicked because I didn't know what he was asking. I was like, oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and I walked out of the room, and then I was like, write him a note. Like, I've sent guys, hey, to Archie, please sign, big fan, whatever. And he's like, no, yeah, CeCe's saving all the notes from his final year. And it rattled me, man.
Wow.
I was like, I just agreed to write CeCe a note. Like, do I make it simple? Do I get, you know, whatever? And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to say like what I want to say. And like what I wrote, I don't know if you read it. I'm sure you
did read
it.
But
the thing I remember most about CeCe, like a full circle moment, was I remember watching this guy on Cribs on MTV when he was with the Indians. He had his barbershop set up and he had the jerseys in the bottom of his floor that was glass or whatever. You could see the jerseys in the floor. And I was like, I'm just going to tell CeCe, I remember watching you on Cribs and now I'm pitching against you in Yankee Stadium. Like, I'm in Yankee Stadium pitching against you.
How cool is that?
And it was cool, man. And I'm a big Jordan guy. I'm trying to become a Jumpman athlete. Not afraid to talk about it. Come on, Jordan.
This is a Jumpman if I've ever seen one.
He sent me over a pair of cleats and he signed him to Archie. Hold on to these till we get you your own. CeCe,
Sabathia. Oh, like, that's it sick, is. Man. It's my favorite piece of memorabilia I own, man.
That cool. is sick.
But that's a CC story I wanted to tell. Dude,
that's a fantastic story. Yeah. I love it. And you're wearing your Jordans today.
Yeah,
today,
yeah,
of course. So yeah. I'm gonna tell this too. I was at the field and they asked me to come do this. I was like, well, I got to go home and change. I got to put J's on. I don't care, man. I used to be kind of like low key, like, oh, I don't want everyone to know I'm trying to be Jordan, because a lot of guys try. But like we're talking about, man, I respect the level of eliteness that it is and the criteria it takes to be there. But now it's like, man, I have a chance to maybe in my career, say I was a Jordan athlete, why not go for it? I dropped every other brand. I turned down every other like on-field sponsorship. Is like, this for me is the pinnacle, and like, that's where I want to be.
That's sick, and man. So, I like that. Yeah. Well, now you have a good rabbi to try.
I mean, I knew what I was doing. You know what I mean? But I knew what I was doing.
You planted the seeds in the right place, my friend.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
It's, you know what? And Archie, you're having, man, these last 3 years, you've been so good, man. And now, this is to the point of the platform. Now I'm going to be like checking the box scores for Diamondback.
Hey, let's go.
Make
I love
sure
that,
you're doing,
man. Yeah.
You're doing well, man. Seriously, this has been fantastic. I just want to end with this. You probably heard us say with some of the other guys as we've been, you know, having all these podcasts here in Arizona, and not just anywhere in Arizona. You know, CC, where we are. We're at Mountain Shadows Resort in Paradise Valley.
Part three?
Yeah. I haven't.
Dog, you want to talk about challenging your game.
Really?
Part threes, I hate them. It's stupid. Because how can it be shorter and supposedly easier, but you score worse? I don't get that. You know what I mean?
Right. It's wild, right?
It's wild.
I know. It's so gorgeous here. My gosh.
Patrick Corbin got married here a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got married in the center part. It's beautiful.
So Patrick Corbin got married at Mountain Shadows Resort in Paradise Valley. That's right.
There's a plug for you.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
I
do this sponsorship thing. I know what to do.
We stayed here when we played you guys, too. This is what
oh, really?
Stayed.
Oh, yeah. It really is. It's spectacular.
Nice.
But so what's the thing you love most about the game? And if there was one change you could make, what would it be?
I think I would change divisions.
Interesting.
Like, this is kind of something I'm on. The Dodgers have won our division 7 straight years. Right now, as an athlete, you're like, oh, I want to go compete and beat them. But, like, you sometimes don't control that. You don't control if your team competes or spends money. But, like, I can point out some other divisions. Look at the Rays, you know, in the AL East, what they have to put up every year, the Yankees and the Red Sox and their payroll and all this stuff. But, like, are we really seeing or getting the best teams if the Dodgers are winning the West every year or if so-and-so? Like, I know it's more travel. Divisional baseball has been a thing, but, like, I just think the divisions kind of get clouded sometimes.
So would you rather just have two leagues and no divisions?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about the full concept of it, but I just think there's a way to create a better competitive balance. Like, that's what we're trying to do in the game, to get teams to spend more. And when you know the Dodgers are going to go spend $250 or $260 every year and sign everyone, it's kind of like, well, you know, we're not going to compete this year. We're not going to try. But if divisions were mixed up and you didn't have to worry about winning the West, but you had to get a certain wins to make the playoffs, I think it changes it. And you get more of, like, more teams playing everyone, the best teams playing other teams and not just beating up on their divisional teams. Think about when they're – look at the gaps in some of these divisions, man.
I know.
Yeah.
25, 30 games, teams eliminated before we even get to the All-Star break sometimes.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And it's like, is this what baseball and competitiveness is about?
They, without knowing all the ins and outs of the, you know, labor structure of Major League Baseball, one of the ways in which, you know, the other leagues – guard against that is having a salary floor, right? Like, each team has some form of salary floor. So it's like, you can't just phone it in for a year. You can't say, oh, I'm going to have a $50 million payroll because we're not competing this year anyway. I'm not going to waste money. It's like, no. Over the course of this many years, you have to be spending X percentage of this amount. You don't have a cap, so it's a little different, but there might be some sort of way to do that so that you don't have those kind of gaps where teams go into a year just knowing, like, well, we're not competing this year, you know?
I just think, you know, and I feel this way with the Diamondbacks this year. I truly do. I feel like we have a team that can go win, that has a chance to go make the postseason and make a run at our division based on just, you know, paper alone, which a lot of teams can't even say that to start. You know, you go into spring and you're optimistic, but look at the Pirates. Their payroll's $40 million.
Yeah, that's insane.
Like,
that's
come
ridiculous.
On, man. Like, and, you know, I've got to know Cole Tucker from hanging out here. And, like, you have this young talent that's looking forward to his first full big league season knowing they're going to go out and lose 100 games.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not what the big leagues is about, man.
No.
And every kid wants to make their dream come true, but you want to win. Like, my only part of the playoffs is 17. Like, we won the wild card game. We got swept in the DS. But, like, not that the regular season is less, but it is now. Even from 4 years ago, you know what I mean? Like, nothing can take
or give you what playoff baseball does. That's why, to get back to my answer, like that raw emotion of baseball, yeah. like that shit, like the way you acted to the Rays and the shit you do in the place and just everything, man, you can't recreate that in any other form. It is the most special thing there is.
No, yeah. man, you can't. I hope to see you guys and Madison, the rodeo yeah, champion. Right.
Yeah. How about
this
that?
This guy's competing in rodeos, bro.
He's unbelievable. I love it. What he was is. The reaction like? Did you guys already know he was doing this?
Nah,
like,
man. So this is why I love talking yeah. this. Honestly, it's kind of some bullshit. Like, yeah. I don't know the whole story, but like he kind of had to talk about it against his, like he really didn't want to speak about it.
Oh, really?
Because wow. it was kind of his alias thing. And like, yeah. I mean, you know, like we talk about, you want to do shit in your personal life that you
oh,
can't
well,
really,
somebody just came up and like outed him kind of?
Kind of. It wasn't it why. Wasn't written with the right intent or oh. consent. Or, I know there's some... I Madison's thought, not thought, very happy about yeah, it. I can say that. So.
I'd be afraid to make that man angry too.
Yeah, oh, I thought this was like oh him coming out with this.
No, I don't think so. I think there's some shit brewing.
Oh
with that
boy,
right now.
Man. That's oh bullshit. Man, yeah. that is funny. Well, you know what? I hope that he doesn't take it out on any of you.
nah, he does. That's a cool thing, man. Like, yeah. You hit free agency what twice? Once.
Once.
It was really cool to hear Madison talk about that and talk about how he wanted to come play for us.
Oh, that's.
I
cool.
think you know. Some of the guys talk about the money and this and that, but like he specifically talked about the way we played, the guys we had, and then wanting to come play here. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah man. Well, I now, I'm going to find myself rooting for you this year.
Thanks,
for sure, man.
I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Thanks for being an R2C2 fan.
Yeah,
man.
No, this is cool.
We can't wait to see who your podcast co-host
yeah,
is going to be.
Yeah, I know.
You could do this, man.
I like it. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's you got to find a co-host.
Yeah, I will.
Get it going.
So, like, let's talk about that a little bit. Yeah. I know we got to wrap it up, yeah, but like, no how problem. Did you two get this going? I mean, how would I, quote unquote, find that person or find the avenue to do this the way you guys do it?
Well, he worked at Yes when I first got to New York, and we would just always just chop it up about basketball, different things, and like just kind of found like that common interest. And as he got bigger and started doing things, I was like, man, this is like perfect. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a perfect opportunity. You know, we both don't want to be like negative. Like yeah. we didn't yeah. want it to be like a negative radio of type of show where we going at people and shit like that. So we found that common ground and everything else just kind of took off.
Yeah, exactly. Because I used to host daily shows and stuff. And like the thing, you know, that I just found to be a grind was like, it's hard to keep yourself out of that negative
oh,
area.
Yeah.
You know,
without
if
a doubt.
If you're trying to fill 3-4 hours a day, whatever it is, and you're like, you're making mountains out of molehills. And, you know, and my primary thing is a play-by-play guy, right? And I don't want to be making mountains out of molehills. Yeah. So it's like, but I love this. Like, I love the storytelling. I love the connection. I love the chemistry CC and I have. And so it's like, okay, what can you do that with? And we were both on the same page for what we want. Like, oh, we want a platform for storytelling. Mm-hmm. We want a platform for people to show their personalities. Like, so we can do it that way. But, you know, to answer your question, like, I do think there's value in it being a real, like, organic
yeah,
connection
for sure.
because, you know, like, we both have, you know, we have a friendship, we have a healthy respect for each other, and you don't have to be, like, best friends in the world. It's not like CeCe and I are spending all of our social time together, but we, you know, we value yeah. each other. And it's different than, like, if I do a show with the random athlete that I don't have that relationship with, you don't kind of yeah. pick up on the nuances, well,
no, that's
you know?
Why I told you. That's why I was pumped to be here, because you can see what you guys have created and the authenticity, but also the platform you give to speak freely. And, like I said, you know, you're a very loud, outspoken guy, but even just being able to cuss without feeling a repercussion, you know, or, like, a second thought about it, it's cool because you get – the truest, you know, version
yeah.
of that
person,
you
yeah.
know, and you don't have the barriers and the guards, and you know that, like you said, this is the way we talk. It doesn't make me disrespectful or like I don't, you know, but this is just who I am. And like, I feel open to express myself. And that's what I love about this.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you. That's definitely what we're going for, man. And so you kind of maybe know, see, is there anyone in the area who you feel like you got like, you know, some kind of like organic vibe with or relationship? And then you yeah. you know you figure, or start scouting media people who you like could maybe tolerate, you know, one or the other. But Archie, thank you, man. You were terrific
yeah, man,
with
for
this.
For sure, I appreciate yeah, it, man. Dope, bro. Yeah, for sure.
The Shift.
I mean, how great was Archie? Just tremendous. His personality, his energy. We could have sat there all day with Archie Bradley, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's hosting his own podcast sometime soon. So thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. You know, this has been fun for CeCe and I to be able to continue to record and to put out content during this period of time.
It allows us to have something to look forward to, and hopefully it allows you to have something to look forward to as well. So as always, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. You can watch us on YouTube as well. All the Shift episodes, as well as many of our R2C2 episodes, are available on Uninterrupted's YouTube channel. So please make sure you check that out as well. Stay safe, stay home, keep washing those hands, and all the best to you and your families.